Welcome to the Grace Fellowship Church of Ephrata podcast. Our desire is to help you grow in your journey with Jesus, no matter where you are. For more information, please check out our website at www.gfchurch.net.
We have been studying a book out of the Bible called James. James was the half-brother. Good thing I looked down, or we were just going to have a tragedy. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He had to grow up seeing Jesus grow up. He didn't even believe in him until after his resurrection. James is a very practical book. It's got a lot of instruction about our words. It's got a lot of instruction about temptation, and that's why so many people love it. And we have a bunch of groups in this church that have studied James within the last 2 years. We want to take a look at the last part of James, the last chapter of James, I should say, and what it has to say for us today out of James chapter 5. Now, some of you may be familiar with the name Admiral Jim Stockdale or James Stockdale. He is highly decorated. He was a POW in Vietnam's Hanoi Hilton. He was there for 8 years. During those 8 years, he was tortured over 20 times. He would eventually, after those 8 years, be freed, come back to the States. He would be given the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he would talk about, in many books he's talked about, many articles he's talked about, his time at the Hanoi Hilton, which was terrible. The Vietnamese wanted to put forward the POWs as though they were being treated well, and they were not. And they were doing it as a propaganda campaign. He was desperate to overcome this situation. When he was in the Hanoi Hilton, he sort of assumed command of all the POWs that were there, and you know, unofficially. He made it his job that while he was enduring all of the garbage that they had to go through as POWs, he made it his role and responsibility to look out for all the men and to encourage them as they were going through the difficulty so that they could, he said he wanted to bring as many people out of there as he possibly could whenever they would eventually be released, which was his hope. He's an incredible story of perseverance under suffering and difficulty. And there's a lot of lessons that people have learned from James Stockdale's life about how to overcome difficult times in our lives. The reality is that suffering happens. Is that right? Is that true? Yeah, it does. For us as Christians, one of those versions of suffering that we have to endure is a persecution for our beliefs. Now, I don't want to downplay what's going on in our country, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ over in Africa, in the Middle East, and so on, who are enduring horrible suffering. Some losing their lives unjustly. We in America have our difficulties, but I can never compare being told I can't say Merry Christmas or something like that in a public place or whatever compared to what some of my brothers and sisters are going through. There is suffering in this world, and some of it is extremely, extremely difficult. And if I don't understand suffering from a biblical perspective, when I have injustice done against me, then it's easy for me to be shell-shocked, confused, or frankly, angry with God, maybe even to give up hope. And so today, we're going to look at the book of James, and with that, we're going to see how we as Christians need to handle suffering, especially suffering in the name of Jesus. Now, I'll say this right up front. Suffering, in this context, is talking primarily about being persecuted and having trials for being a Christian. Now, can some of the principles today and the truths today be applied to those of you that are going through suffering, whether it's your health, your family, your job? Yes, it can. But I want us to keep in mind that this was primarily being written for those that were being persecuted, because it will help us as believers as we move forward. Let's take a look at James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. I'm going to have it up here on the screen for us to read along, or if you want to look it up in your Bible, I'm all okay with that. James chapter 5, starting with verse 7, says this: "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be what? That's now the second time he said that. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That's the second time he said that. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job in the Old Testament, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. James talks about patience a lot in this. In fact, it's mentioned multiple times if you look through it. You see it in verse 7. You see it later on all the way down to verse 10. He keeps talking about patience. And one thing I know about suffering is not something I feel like being patient in. Not at all. It's the worst. It's the worst. And throughout this passage, verses 7 to 11, we see four things that when we are suffering, we might be tempted to do, or that suffering can do to us. And he gives these that we would be aware, whether you're going through it now or whether it's in the future, to be aware of this. There's four things suffering can do. First one is that suffering can cause us to rush things. Suffering can cause us to rush things. We want to get through it. We're not patient. That's why I'm convinced James said it three times. Be patient in suffering. We want to get it over with. I will say this. You know, I've told my kids, whenever we put dinner out and there's something on it that you don't like, eat it first. You know, get it over with. And sometimes that's how we handle just suffering in our life, difficulty. We want to get through it as fast as we possibly can. And yet James encourages us. He compares it and he uses this illustration of the farmer. A farmer waits for things to grow. A farmer has to wait a long time for things to grow. When I was reading that this week, and maybe it's because it was Child Dedication Week, a story we read to our kids came to mind, and it was Frog and Toad. I don't know if you remember Frog and Toad. There's one story of Frog and Toad where Toad puts seeds in the ground because Frog tells him to, and so he expects that now that I planted this, everything will grow in an hour. And it doesn't. And he even gets over and he starts yelling at them, start growing, and he's like singing lullabies to them and all this stuff, and it just takes forever. And it's not happening, and he doesn't know why, because they weren't designed to grow that quickly. Suffering is not always designed to be quick. And so we have a tendency to rush it to get it over with so we can get on with our life and get back to the good times. None of us enjoy suffering. I mean, if you enjoy suffering, I won't ask you to raise your hand because I always have that contrarian that will do it. You know who you are. Our instinct is to get through it quickly. But James says to be patient. The word that he has there for patient that he uses in the original language is to be long-tempered. In other words, it should take a long time for you before you lose your mind. You don't blow up. You don't get angry. You take your time. And so he says, be patient. And he even says in verse 8, he says to establish your heart. And that word establish here means to have a resolute determination and to stay the course. Don't give up. It's funny. We try to rush things, or maybe we try to rush it by being all optimistic in difficult times. James Stockdale, the man that I talked about at the beginning of this, said was asked one time, who didn't make it through the Hanoi Hilton and being a POW? He said the optimists. Because the optimists were always like, wow, we're going to be out and released by Christmas. And then Christmas would come and they weren't released. And then they'd be like, well, we'll be out by Easter. And they would be all excited and then Easter would come and they were still POWs. And he said they'd lost hope. They died of broken hearts. They gave up because they tried to rush things. Second thing that suffering will do for us is that suffering can turn us on our friends. James says, you know what? Do not grumble against one another. When we are going through difficult times, a sufferer, or if that is us suffering, we sometimes want to find someone to take it out on or to blame. And sadly, some of the ones that we take it out on and blame are the ones that are the closest to us and love us the most because we're suffering. Maybe it's because we feel safe. So we just unload on them. And I'm not minimizing going through suffering because I've had my own times in life with this. But we can easily forget that the words that we even, you know, say, and I get it, we're processing the suffering God has us going through, still leave marks, still hurt people. And it doesn't just go away over that. Some are very patient and graceful in that. They understand you're going through it. But suffering can turn us on our friends, and they may be the support system that we need through difficult times. When we suffer, we wound and blame, we isolate people, we cut them off as though that's going to make things better, and it inevitably makes things worse. And some of our words and some of our actions in those times make things worse. A third thing that suffering can do to us. Suffering can turn us on God. They can turn us on God. Not just our friends, not the people around us that we can see, but God. The one that gives us hope. And he mentions up here in this passage, he talked about, don't grumble against each other so that you may not be judged. And a judge is standing at the door. It gives us the idea that a judge is about ready to walk into the courtroom. And we want to be found faithful. We want to be found authentic and real in those times. And he says, the judge is waiting. You don't want to be judged that you aren't the real deal. Suffering can turn us on God. When we're going through it, it's very easy for us to turn on God. It's very easy for us to blame him or say that the sovereign God is one who's taking some sort of sick pleasure in torturing us. It happens. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. We have to be aware that that is a tendency, and the lost world is watching how we suffer. There was a song back years ago. It's not a band probably any of you have heard of. It was in the harder rock category, and it was a song written by a guy who was not a Christian about his Christian mother. Her name was Judith, and throughout this song, Judith had difficulties. She had physical, multiple sclerosis and all this stuff she was going through. And he, as a non-believer, is looking at her and he's ridiculing her. Why don't you turn on your God, your Lord, your Christ? And he doesn't understand how a Christian suffers. And he's just lashing out at her like, you are ridiculous that you're expecting God to get you through this. It reminded me of Job's wife. Do you remember what Job's wife said when things are really going bad to him? Why don't you what? Curse God and die. Wow, that's the kind of encouragement I want in that time. But she's voicing what many people feel who are going through suffering, to turn us on God. I would say this, if God is sovereign and in control of all things, he is our only source of hope, and abandoning him is like setting yourself loose with an inner tube in the middle of the ocean. That's not a good thing. And that is what it is when we turn on God in those times of suffering. Fourth thing is suffering can cause us to quit too soon. We can quickly just say, God, can you just hurry this up? That's the first one. But this one is, I give up. This is too hard. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And James points out, he talks about prophets that spoke the words of the Lord, and many were ridiculed, many were outcast, some were tortured and killed. And he says, you know what, you need to be like them. And we consider those blessed who remained faithful. Suffering can cause us to quit very quickly. And frankly, when we quit quickly, it shows how deep our faith is and how deep our trust in God through the times of suffering. There are words that my dad once shared with me, and I have these printed out by my computer as a reminder to me when things get difficult. It says, you don't measure a man by his greatness, by his talents or wealth, like the world does, but rather what it takes to discourage him. It's always too early to quit. Suffering makes us want to quit. And it makes sense. It's hard. It's difficult, but we have a God, and we have people around us, and we know that God is refining us in the process, and sometimes the best thing that we can do in times of suffering, and this is so counterintuitive, but if we trust that God is in control of all things, and he has our future in his hands, is we kind of need to get the chair, sit it down, and plant ourselves in it. And that's not easy. It's not easy. And yet he has a point in the suffering that we are going through, whether that is persecution, whether that is something in our life. James Stockdale, who I started this with, knew that his men would go through torture. And so he began to come up with a system called the stepwise system, where he told them that if you can endure torture for whatever it is, 45 minutes or an hour, then you can do this. You can give away this much information. If you can make it to the second milestone, then you can give away this. And he taught them this almost measurable way so that they could endure the torture that they were going through and the suffering that they were going through and make it through it longer and longer and longer rather than just tapping out and being done with it immediately. Suffering can cause us to quit too soon, and God may have other plans for the suffering in our life. So instead, we should patiently endure suffering. That sounds easy. That sounds nice. But there are some real scriptural reminders here, what James tells us, why we need to endure suffering patiently. Number one is that rescue is coming. He says twice in the very beginning something. The Lord is coming again. The second coming of the Lord. He is going to return. That may happen in our lifetime. We don't know. But we do hold out hope that the Lord will return. And in this context, just so you know, for those of you that are your Bible scholars here, he's not talking about the rapture. He is talking about the second coming of the Lord in this, that when he comes up to establish his kingdom here on earth, we believe will happen in the future. He comes out and says, that is your hope, because everything that is unjust in our life will be made right. All wrong will be dealt with at that time. So there is hope, and it may be a long ways off, but it is coming. And so we endure suffering patiently, knowing that rescue is coming. Our rescuer is coming for us to make things right. And so even as we looked at in communion a little while ago, I said setting your eyes on the example of Jesus, because he set his eyes on a further purpose. We need to set our eyes on Christ and his coming, because it will all be made right one day. We can also endure patiently because it proves authenticity. I mentioned a second ago that James talks about the judge that's at the door. And we want to be found as ones who can't be judged for being fake Christians. James talks a lot about the fake Christian or the double-minded person. It proves we are authentic believers. The judge is standing at the door. That should be a reminder to us. I want, when I endure suffering, for it to prove my faith, my trust in God, that I know he works all things together for those that love him and trust him. Believers in the future know that we will be judged, and we're going to be judged according to what we have done for him, not for our sin. Believers, don't worry about that, because there is this no condemnation given to us. Our sins are forgiven, but we will be judged according to what we have done with what we have been given. And so we should be striving through suffering to prove that our relationship is authentic with God. That it is not pretend, that it's not, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I show up at church every Sunday. That is not authentic. What is inside of us and the faith that we have is. And thirdly, our blessing is growing. James uses the illustration of Job. You're like, okay, what does that mean? Why is he throwing Job in there? Job endured for a long time. Not only did he endure losing all his stuff, not only did he endure all of his possessions basically being destroyed or taken away, not only did he have to endure his kids dying, being killed, not only did he have to endure a wife who was telling him to curse God and die, but then he had three friends come, and we studied Job about 2 years ago, and he had to endure them questioning his faith and how real it was. Calling him a hypocrite. Boy, that's a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. But what happened at the end of the story of Job? He had to endure a long time, but at the end of it, everything was doubled. Everything was doubled. He had more children. His riches doubled. Sometimes, if we try to rush it too quickly to get over suffering, God may be using that time and the length of it to double our own blessing. He's growing what he wants to grow in this. I know that you all are professionals at planting bamboo and know everything about it. That's a joke. Bamboo is interesting because you plant it. But here's the thing. For the first 4 years, you will see nothing. And you may think that you failed. But at the end of the 4 years, the fifth year, it will grow 80 feet within 6 weeks. It was growing that whole time. You just didn't see it. And for some of us, we have to be reminded in our times of suffering that it may be like those 4 years where you see nothing, but God's blessing is still at work. We just haven't seen it yet. My point this morning is this, is that suffering is an expected guest, not a surprise visitor. We should expect suffering. Those of you that are believers, you know this. Jesus said this multiple times. Hey, if you're going to follow me, consider the cost, he says in the book of Luke. Because it's not going to be easy. This is just part of the deal. If you think becoming a Christian just meant everything was going to be easy, no problems, no. You're adding to it, actually. It's going to be harder. But that's a part of following Christ. Suffering is a part of it. Being ridiculed for our faith is part of it. We should embrace suffering like an expected guest, not a surprise visitor. You know what that's like when you have that knock on the door, or the person does your ring doorbell. It's like, oh no, who is it? And the feelings of dread for us introverts is like, this is so terrible. Worst thing ever. Suffering is not to be viewed that way. Suffering is to be viewed as okay, I got my chair. I'm going to sit in it through the suffering, and God is going to do what God does through this. James Stockdale talked about the fact that he wanted to accept the brutal facts of difficulty while holding out hope to prevail. And he was coming from a non-Christian perspective, but we as believers can hold to that. We can prevail, that this is all going to work out. So two homework things for you as we wrap up. Those of you that feel you're going through a time of suffering, first I want you to ask God to help you see suffering like he does. It's all about perspective, that you see suffering like he does, because he sees it differently. When I think of suffering, I can maybe think of three different perspectives with it. It's, you know, I just got to get through this, or I got to rush it, or God is punishing me for sin, or God is testing to see if I'm real. And I, as humans, I sometimes can only see one, two, maybe three perspectives. But often they aren't always God's perspective on why he has me going through this time. And so for me, I want to encourage myself, I want to encourage you, see God's hand in this, because there is a different perspective that you may never have considered that is his. Back when I lived in Maryland, one of the worst places you could ever go is the DMV, or the MVA there, the Motor Vehicle Administration. Oh, man, if you lived there, it was the worst. PA has been a dream, I'm telling you. You would go there, and you took a number, and it was like the lottery when your number got called. I mean, people were high-fiving and celebrating because you'd be there forever. And in one of my more contemplative moments, as I was waiting for about an hour and 15 minutes to get my number called one time, the Lord hit me with something, because I'm just grumbling about the perspective I had at that point. I'm suffering, you know. And I wondered for a moment, as I looked around at all the other people that were getting their numbers and so on, how many of these was the rite of passage for them? They were getting their license. How many of these people, and this sounds really dark, sorry, this is just where my mind was. How many people are getting the license that's going to be the very thing that takes their life? And they're celebrating it today. Or maybe take someone else's life in an accident. It was sombering when I thought about my own plight of waiting just to get my tags for my thing. But I had to see it differently. And when it comes to suffering, it has to be the same way. Take some time to see it the way God does. And then secondly, develop patience. Developing patience is going to take time. It does take time. Patience takes time. But it's going to take time to develop patience. Rushing or quitting is not an option. If you can be patient in your suffering now, when God brings suffering again later, and he very well may allow it in your life, we can endure it better the next time. Imagine a church who suffers well. Imagine a church that encourages one another to endure the suffering and difficulty that we're going through. That's a church I want to be a part of. And I hope you do too. don't suffer alone. By all means, do not turn your back on the one who is in control of all things. Let's pray. Father, as we wrap up our time this morning, we thank you for all that we've been able to celebrate. And Lord, I don't know what everybody is going through, but I ask that you would help them in their mode of suffering that they're going through. I ask that you would encourage them, give them hope, help them to be strong. But Lord, that they would never abandon you, that they would never abandon your word, and Lord, that they would see what it is that you are teaching them. Maybe you're just proving their authenticity of their faith, just as you did with Job, just as you did with the prophets, as James said. God, I pray for comfort and support for those going through it, that you would bring what they need to get them, to help them endure. And Lord, that above all, we would keep our eyes on Jesus, who endured all things so that we could be saved. We thank you for this time this morning, and we commit it to you and ask it in your name. Amen.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you would like prayer, you can send your prayer request in to prayer@gfchurch.net, and we will pray for you. If you like this message, don't forget to subscribe on the podcast app, Google or Spotify. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to seeing you next week.